Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder on Church at Home. Church at Home, we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. What is the truth of the Word of God? What is the error of the world? What is true Christianity? What does the Word of God tell us in every aspect of our life? And one of the things that is coming really soon is Christmas, which a lot of people feel is the most wonderful time of the world. And they even claim it comes from the Bible. Well, this time we're going to examine the Bible, and we're going to see, what does God say? Does he accept the traditions of men? Does he think that because we're sincere and well-intended in our hearts that he's going to accept it? Now, we have two publications for you that I want you to download. Number one is Christmas, The Greatest Story Never Told. What a fantastic booklet this is. The other one is Who and What is a True Christian? And the other one is something that you will have to order. Just email us and we'll send it to you at no cost. Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which? And in there, we talk about all the occult holidays, and it is the premier book ever written, which lays out all the truth concerning the holidays of this world, where they came from, what was the origin of them, and then lays out the truth of the Sabbath and holy days of God, which are the only things that God has commanded us to do and to observe. One of the very first lessons that we have covered is back there in Genesis 4:7, when Cain brought his offering. God didn't accept it, and a lot of people don't understand, why didn't God accept it? Well, all you have to do is read it, because God said, Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance so disfigured in this anger? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. See, because we can overcome sin. And the lesson is, throughout the whole Bible, do you believe God and do what he says? Do you believe Jesus Christ and do what he says? That's the whole story of the Bible. Or do you want to come along and add something to it or take away from it or think that this quaint custom over here is really wonderful and good and the people have a lot of fun and therefore it's such a great thing we ought to do it? Well, what does God say? Let's come here to Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. Oh, well, that's in the Old Testament, someone's going to say. Yes, it is. But did you know that the New Testament is built upon the Old, and the Old Testament is, in fact, quoted at least one-third of the time in the New Testament, and together they are the unity of Scripture to show us what is the right way? Well, Jesus changed the law so we could do these things. No, he didn't. He made the law spiritual. You need to go to cbcg.org and download God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, and this is the most profound series you will ever read. If you think you are a Christian, and if you think that your evangelicalism is what God accepts, or Catholicism, what God accepts, you have got to go through that series of sermons to show what is true spiritual Christianity. And you will find this, all the laws and commandments of God have been magnified to their full spiritual intent, and that the whole purpose of the new covenant is to have the laws and commandments of God written in our hearts and in our minds, and that we love God with all our hearts and mind and soul and being. That's what true Christianity is all about. Not law or grace, Old Testament, New Testament. Think of it as the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1. And now, O Israel, just put your name there. Hearken to the statutes and to the judgments which I teach you in order to do them so that you may live and go on and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers gives to you. So God wants them to listen, to be blessed, to live. Now notice the caution that he gives which, if they did not obey the next verse, would cut short their lives, would cut short their ability to live in the land. Was Israel cut off and sent into captivity because of their sins? Yes. Read 2 Kings, the 17th chapter. Was Judah and Jerusalem cut off and sent into captivity to Babylon because of their sins? Yes. Were the Jews and Judah and Jerusalem cast off after the destruction of the temple in 70 AD? Yes. And all of that was the hand of God. So we need to understand God means business in what he says. Notice what he says, verse 2. You shall not. Do you like God telling you, you shall not? A lot of people don't like what God says when he says, you shall not, because they murder, they steal, they commit adultery, they lie, they covet, they have other gods, they have idols, they have statutes, they take the name, statues rather, they take the name of God in vain, and they reject the Sabbath day. God says, you shall not. Add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it, so that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. What does your church do? Do they add to or take away from? Does your minister stand in a pulpit and say, oh, let's have a wonderful Christmas, and by the way, Jesus did away with the law? That's tantamount to saying, we're all floating in the air because Jesus did away with the law of gravity. Isn't this wonderful? Nonsense, it's stupidity. Now come to chapter 12, in verse 28, and let's read along and see what it says. And let's understand what it says, because Christmas is intrinsically bound up in these verses. Because Christmas is not Christian, and Christmas did not come from God. Oh, but we do such wonderful things. That's your own righteousness, which is an abomination to God. You lie to your children. You lie to yourself. And you lie to God. Verse 28. Be careful to observe and obey all these words which I command you. Have you read all of these words? Do you know what they say? Do you know what it means when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? And if you never read it because your pastor says, oh, it's all been fulfilled and we don't need to do it. Liar. You know, when President Obama was giving the speech, the last State of the Union, one man who had to apologize when he made a statement that such a fact was not in the health care bill, and the man said, liar. Oh, how terrible. He should never call the president a liar. Well, he was right. So, Fred Calder, who are you to call all of them liars? Because I read the Word of God. Do you? Because I know the Word of God. Do you? Because I live and practice the Word of God. And that's what I teach, and that's what all the brethren in Christian Biblical Church of God do. That's why they pay for you so you can receive this book at no cost, because the words of God are so vital you need to know and understand it. Now let's read these things and understand it. Verse 28, be careful to observe and obey all the words which I command you so that it may go well with you and with your children after you forever when you do that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. And isn't that what we all want? And isn't that what a lot of people think that Christmas is all about? Because they've been so deluded and now they have true lies. We do this for the children, just like Halloween. Oh, yes, we do it for the children to teach them about death and demons and Satan. Isn't that a wonderful thing? No, God says it's abominable and vomit-turning. But it's fun. How do you think Satan deceives? Go look at kiddie cartoons and see how they introduce sin with humor. What are you putting into your children's minds? Let's go on. See, God wants it to go good and right with you. God wants you to do well. But do you want to practice truth, as Jesus said? Now, let me just tell you another thing here that's very clear. This nation is never going to be saved unless there is mass repentance of 100 million Americans to turn from their sins, beginning with the president on down to the least one that's in the homeless shelter. God's hand of judgment is coming because we have violated everything in this book. And one of the biggest deceptions is Christmas. Now let's go on. Verse 29. When the Lord your God shall cut off all the nations before you where you go to possess them, and you take their place and dwell in the land. And isn't that what has happened in America? Yes, indeed. He says, take heed to yourself. Watch out. Be on guard that you do not become ensnared by following them. That is the ones who were expelled. Who were expelled? The heathens, the pagans, the Satan worshipers. Those who kept Christmas and Easter and New Year's and all of those days under the names that they had way back thousands of years ago. And those are the things that God caused them to be put out of the land. Take heed to yourself that you do not become ensnared by following them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not ask about their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? That I may also do likewise. And isn't that what is happening right now in Christianity? How many pagan things have been incorporated? You show me one thing in Orthodox Christianity that is truly of God that will cause God to bring them salvation, and you cannot find a single one. That's how deluded the ministers of Satan have become. Now let's read on. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. Let me read that again. You shall not do so to the Lord your God. You don't take heathen practices and incorporate them into Christianity. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates have they done to their gods, that even their sons and their daughters they have burned in the fire to their gods. And we do the same thing with abortion. And we do the same thing to our children. We send them through the fire of lies and deceit and send them off to a socialistic school which teaches them about homosexuality beginning in kindergarten. After all, we have to be broad-minded. Come here to Amos 5. Let's see what God says about the holidays of this world. You think God is pleased with them? You think God is pleased when you lie to your children? You think God is pleased when you do the little stunt to deceive your little children and show footprints of ashes coming out of the fireplace? So when your children get up and they look at the Christmas tree and all the presents and they say, oh, look, there are the footsteps of Santa. And oh, he's eating the cookies and everything that's there. Then you go to church on Sunday and you hear all of these wonderful hymns. They're not praises to God. They're praises to the God of this world, to the false Christ. Here's what God says about them. Amos 5 and verse 21. You ever read these verses? Now, we know what God teaches. God teaches the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, the last great day, and every week the Sabbath, the seventh day. That's what God teaches. But what are the feasts of this world? Sunday, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Halloween? Notice what God says about them. I hate, I despise your feast days because you took them from the heathen. I will take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Isn't that something? No. He doesn't delight in that. Notice what he says about the music, verse 23. Take the noise of your songs away from me, for I will not hear the melody of your harps. Yes, they've gone after other gods. Now let's see what God says about the Christmas tree. Let's see what God says. Remember where we started in this segment. You're not to add to or take away from. So here is a perfect description of the Christmas tree. Verse 1, Jeremiah 10. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the heathen. Do not be terrified at the signs of the heavens, for the nations are terrified at them. Don't learn the way of the heathen, just like God said back there in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 12, right? Well, we're going to see everyone acknowledges that Christmas came from the heathen, but it's such a wonderful thing. We do it, and we have renamed it. Oh, it's no longer to Bacchus. It's no longer to Saturn. No. It's no longer Bacchanalia and Saturnalia. It is Christmas. Remember the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? Where did that come from? Long before Christian churches ever adopted it. Verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. It serves no purpose. It doesn't teach the way of God. It is based on lie, 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 lie. Can you worship and serve the God of truth with lies? No. Can you purge Christmas and make it acceptable to God? Never. Can you put Christ back into it? No, because he was never there. You write for the article or download it, when was Jesus born? And he was not born anywhere near December 25th. Notice what it says here. Here's the Christmas tree. For one cuts a tree out of the forest with the axe, the work of the hands of the workmen. They adorn it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not move. Isn't that something? Let's ask a question. Let's talk about the Christmas tree a little bit more and all the ornaments. All right? Why take a pine tree, spruce tree, or fir tree, or cedar tree, and bring it into your house at the beginning of winter? Now, what are fir trees and those kind of trees called? They are called evergreen. So it symbolizes the false way to salvation. The way to salvation is with the tree of life. Now let's look at the ornaments that are on. They have lights and they have stars. And they have lots of ornaments. When you really understand it, every one of those ornaments is some kind of sex symbol. And remember, the little fir tree was the springing up of the one who was called Tammuz, the son of Nimrod, going clear back to Babylon 4,000 years ago. Now, who is the one that said, oh, eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because you will understand the truth? You can decide good and evil for yourself. Was it none other than Satan the devil? Yes, indeed. Now, let's look at the Christmas tree again. Not only does it have lights on it, but it also has decorations that go around it in a very serpentine-like configuration. And at the top is a star. And that star symbolizes Satan the devil. Oh, the morning star, how you have fallen. Does that honor God? No. God says it's vain. That you're not to be afraid of them. They can't speak, they can't do good, they can't do evil. But why bring that into your house? Oh, but it smells so good, and it's so much fun, and brings the family together. Exactly. That's how Satan has everyone hooked, by taking things that people need emotionally, physically, mentally, closeness of family, children all together, friends and neighbor, mix in all kinds of spirits and wonderful times and parties and things like that, and carry that on over into New Year's. All right, now let me read you something here. We also have online at cbcg.org, which you can download, The Two Babylons by Alexander Hislop, and here's what he writes concerning Christmas. Indeed, it is admitted by most learned and candid writers of all parties that the day of our Lord's birth cannot be determined. Well, now it can be. You download When Was Jesus Born? Because the truth and evidence of when he was born is contained right in the Bible if we just research it out. All right? and that within the Christian church, no such festival as Christmas was ever heard of till the 3rd century, and that not till the 4th century was far advanced did it gain much observance. Isn't that amazing? 300 years plus wasn't observed. Jesus didn't observe it. The apostles didn't observe it. Paul did not observe it. But those who came in with false doctrines did observe it. How then did the Romish church fix December 25th as Christmas Day? He says, why thus? Long before the 4th century, long before the Christian era itself, a festival was celebrated among the heathen at the precise time of year in honor of the son of the Babylonian queen of heaven. And it may be fairly presumed that in order to conciliate the heathen and to swell the numbers of nominal adherents of Christianity, the same festival was adopted by the Romish church, giving it only the name of Christ. And they still do it to this day. I saw a special of a priest way back in the jungles of right on the border of Brazil and Colombia, right up just at the base of the Andes Mountains as they go up. And here were these natives out there, and they had their religion. And here was a Catholic priest with a little parish. And you know how he got them to come to the parish and to worship with him? Because he took all of their customs and gave them all a Christian name. And all of these were customs for headhunters and cannibals. Wasn't that wonderful? Didn't we convert the heathen? Foolish nonsense. Continuing now, that Christmas was originally a pagan festival is beyond all doubt. So if you are a Christian and profess to follow God, why do you follow the pagans and the heathens, which God says you shall not do? The time of the year and the ceremonies with which it is still celebrated prove its origin. In Egypt, the son of Isis, the Egyptian title for the Queen of Heaven, was born at that very time, about the time of the winter solstice. We already talked about the Christmas tree, didn't we? Now here's what Samuel Bakayoko, who wrote the book From Sabbath to Sunday, very noted historian in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, he has since passed in this last year. The adoption of the 25th of December for the celebration of Christmas is perhaps the most explicit example of sun worship's influence on the Christian liturgical calendar. It is a known fact that the pagan feast of the Dies Natalis Solis Invicta, the birth of the invincible sun, was held on that day. Sun worship. Sun worship. God condemns that. If you practice Christmas, you are practicing pagan, heathen sun worship. Did you know that? That's why Satan has made it such a delightful time and involve all the family and the children. That's why it's based on lies, because it did not come from God. Came from Satan the devil, whom we saw is the one who is the author of lies. Can you really worship God, the God of truth, with lies? Can you really say you're a Christian when you practice pagan things? Oh, but they've been cleansed by the Pope. He's blessed them. Really? What did we read about adding to or taking away from the Word of God? Did the Pope consult the Bible before he did that? Or were they interested more in numbers and people and money and power and dominion and oppression than they were in the truth? That you have to research and find out for yourself. Now continuing on, Bakayoko says that the Church of Rome introduced and championed this new date, December 25th, is accepted by most scholars. How about that? Everyone knows it. And do you think that since everyone knows the origin of Christmas is pagan, that God has anything whatsoever to do with it, that Jesus has anything whatsoever to do with it. Don't you know and understand that God would never have the Savior of the world born on the day of the false Savior, Tammuz? Of course not. God has a special day when Jesus was born. That's why you need to read the article, When Was Jesus Born? And that undoubtedly was the Feast of Trumpets. What's the Feast of Trumpets? Well, if you don't know, that shows how ignorant you are of the Word of God. Well, why do you put me down? I'm not trying to put you down. I'm just stating the facts, hoping you'll wake up to the truth. Do you want the truth? Do you love the truth? Do you want God? Do you love God? What is your life? Where are you going? What are you going to do? See, these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. Christmas is not Christian under any circumstances. Now, there's a whole lot more with Christmas that we can learn of, but you be sure and download the booklet, Christmas, the Greatest Story Never Told. Write in for the book, Occult Holidays or God's Holy Days, which... And be sure and download Who and What is a True Christian so that you can judge your own life by the Word of God and know whether you're a true Christian or not. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Maybe some of you don't think that I was very welcome with what I said this time, but nevertheless, it's the truth. And if you love the truth, you'll think about it and do what is right. So this is Fred Calder saying, till next time, so long, everyone.